Well, I want to share a few thoughts from a psalm, Psalm 11, this morning. We'll read this together. In the Lord I take refuge. How then can you say to me, flee like a bird to your mountain? For look, the wicked bend their bows, they set their arrows against the strings to shoot from the shadows at the upright in heart. When the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord is on his heavenly throne. He observes everyone on earth. His eyes examine them. The Lord examines the righteous. But the wicked, those who love violence, he hates with a passion. On the wicked he will rain fiery coals and burning sulfur. A scorching wind will be their lot. For the Lord is righteous. He loves justice. The upright will see his face. This is a psalm that was written by David. Most of us know the story of David pretty well. Very, very interesting story from the books of 1 and 2 Samuel. At what stage in David's life did he write this psalm? We don't really know, but he had an incredible beginning. He was the youngest of a bunch of brothers, and he started out his life on the hillsides taking care of sheep. Where did David get his knowledge or his understanding of God? We don't really know what the beginning of that was. Because he was the youngest, I'm thinking that could have been from his mother. It could have been from his mother or his father, but he had an understanding of God that only developed as he grew older. He was out in nature. It reminds me of the story of Patrick, who was out in Ireland and who, in desperate circumstances, learned to call on God and learned to trust in God. And while David was out on the hills herding sheep, he needed help at times. A lion and a bear would come for his sheep, and he learned how to take care of them. And I'm sure that he called on God for strength to do that. He was anointed as a boy to be king. Samuel came along and said to his dad, Jesse, where are your sons? And he paraded all of the sons in front of him, and none of them, God said, no, I haven't chosen any one of them. Do you have any more? And of course, David was the youngest out in the field, and he was chosen at that time and anointed to be king. Although there was a king at that time, King Saul, and God had rejected Saul because of Saul's disobedience, and David became king, even as a boy on the hillsides tending sheep. But that wasn't, it wasn't just an easy road from there for sure. He made music, and his music was something that comforted King Saul, because King Saul was tormented by an evil spirit. And they found this kid who played the guitar or the harp, and they brought him to King Saul, and while he played, King Saul would be comforted. Something would happen to him that would just settle him. Then from there he became Saul's armor bearer. Saul liked this young man. And when they were confronted with this giant Goliath, David came along to check out how his brothers were doing in the army, and was there to actually slay Goliath. And then he was really noticed, and he became general in Saul's army. He became very successful. So successful that Saul, the king, became jealous of him and tried to kill David. And even at times when David was playing music for King Saul to comfort him, to soothe him, Paul would hurl a spear at him. So he was jealous of David. And David had to become a fugitive. He lived for many years in the hills, in the rugged hills of Judea. And I think Ray and Adele have seen some of those hills where David had to hide and live for many years until Saul's death, and then things began to change. What's interesting, though, is that while he was a fugitive and during some of these difficult years, he wrote so many of the Psalms. And a lot of his Psalms speak of the experiences of him actually running from Saul and Saul's army. So this may be a psalm that was out of that experience. He starts, "In the Lord I take refuge. How then can you say to me, flee like a bird to your mountain? Look, the wicked bend their bows. They set their arrows against the strings to shoot from the shadows at the upright in heart. When the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do?" So there's a voice here. He begins by telling us what this voice is telling him. It says, "Get out of here, flee." And the voice is a voice of fear, a voice of despair, a voice of hopelessness. What can you do when things are against you, when everything that you've trusted in has been shaken? David's kindness was met with evil. His successes were met with murderous jealousy of Saul. So this voice is a voice to tell him, give up. It's no use. Get out of here. Flee. Escape. And what is David's response? God is my refuge. If you see the suggestion, it takes you from the last part of verse 1 all the way to the end of verse 3. What can you do when things are against you, when your enemy seems to be triumphing over you? Escape, flee, run away. We can apply that to our lives when difficult situations happen to us. We could medicate ourselves. We can go to drink and drugs and sex or anything that food that is an escape, but ultimately that isn't going to help us and sometimes only does us more harm, makes things worse. Give up. Nothing can be done. But David says, God is my refuge. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Jesus told us, in this world you're going to have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Where is God in this situation? David says, God is in his holy temple. The Lord is in his holy temple, on his heavenly throne. At this time, if this is when this was happening, when David was fleeing from Saul, the ark, which represented the presence of God on this earth in Israel, wasn't in Jerusalem. David conquered Jerusalem later and eventually brought the ark of God into Jerusalem. And that was where the presence of God was felt. In fact, when David erected a special tent for that ark, and he used to go into that tent and sit before that ark in that special tent and just love to be in the presence of God. Somehow God allowed his presence to be in that ark and around that ark on the mercy seat or between the angels that were on that ark. And yet this probably wasn't when that ark had been brought back. So where did David get his understanding of where God was? He wasn't in the ark or in this tabernacle or in this tent. God was in heaven. God was on the throne. And David knew God's presence before, I think, he even brought that ark back to Jerusalem. His awareness of God was developed on the hills as a shepherd. His awareness of God was developed as he was hiding from Saul, from his enemy. And when he was ultimately going out to fight for Saul, against the enemies, he would always ask, should I go up? Should I do this? And God would tell him yes or no, and he would obey God. He had a very strong sense of God's presence, and that God was in his holy temple, on his heavenly throne. We can ask, where is God? Why doesn't he do something? What's he doing? It says he's observing and he's examining. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord is on his heavenly throne. He observes everyone on the earth. His eyes examine them. The Lord examines the righteous. Examine. To me, that has the word exam in it. Exam is a test. God is looking for faithfulness in his people. And he's always testing us. Everything that we experience in life, I believe, is some form of test. Whether it's good or whether it's bad. Whether it's hard or whether it's easy. There's a test in everything. Are we going to remain faithful to God? Can we still trust him? He wants to know if our hearts are for him or not. And of course, the enemy wants us to give up. God isn't trustworthy, and he's abandoned us, and he can't be trusted any longer. When everything is shaken and falls and is stripped away, can we still trust that God is good and that he can be trusted? Is he righteous or just, as the last verse says? The Lord is righteous. He loves justice. The upright will see his face. Will we ultimately not be ashamed of having trusted in God, having put our trust in God? Will we ultimately see his face, or will we be disappointed? There are many situations in life that I'm thinking of this morning, and of course, this week was a prime example of that. The situation in Fort McMurray is probably one of the things that comes to my mind the first this week. Disaster, beyond our imagination. And many people in that town must have been people who trusted in God, right? There's had to be a lot. There were churches there. So disaster comes. Where is God? Is he on his throne? Is he examining their hearts? Is he aware of what's happening? Can he be trusted? Is he there? And so we're faced with this question again and again. Where is God when disaster comes? And like the psalmist, many of these people probably said, you know, flee to the mountains, get out of here, escape whatever way you can, even if it's taking your own life. Or, what can we do when our government legislates the killing of unborn babies? What can we do when our government legislates marriage in opposition to God's design? What can we do when our government legislates taking the life of someone whose life doesn't seem to be worthwhile anymore? Can we do anything? Perhaps we could read that into this situation. When the foundations are being shaken, when they're being destroyed, what can the righteous do? What can we do? Like David, we need to find our refuge in God and wait on him. We may not have immediate, easy answers, and we most often don't. But David continued to trust in God and was certain that God was just and God was righteous, and that one day he would see God's face. So today I just wanted to encourage you not to abandon hope, because most of us are in situations that are pretty easy to take. We've got a section here that maybe makes it look like, David said, it's really easy to figure out what God's doing. God hates the unjust, he hates the wicked, and he's gonna destroy them, and the righteous are all going to be fine. But we know from experience, from David's experience, that David knew that it wasn't that way. It wasn't that simple. And we can even take some of the words here and apply them to our situation even today. On the wicked, he will rain fiery coals and burning sulfur. A scorching wind will be their lot. Well, this happens to the good and the bad, right? We know that. The rain, the good things that God does for us, happens to the righteous and the unrighteous. So we've got a scorching wind blowing today. It's blowing from the south. It's hot. It hasn't rained for a long time. And we know that that's happening to the righteous as well as to the unrighteous. We may get some rain this week. We know that that will happen to the righteous and the unrighteous. Is God still just? Is he still righteous? Can we trust in him? Can we be confident that at the end of everything, we will see his face and we will understand that it will not have been in vain that we have put our trust in God? So I want to encourage you with that today.